Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Janice Sudak.
In 1983, I moved to South Florida to Coconut Grove. And what I loved about Coconut Grove was I had the opportunity to be outside all of the time. And that was one of the reasons why I moved to South Florida, because I love being out of doors. And being from Pennsylvania, that was one thing that always frustrated me about living up there. I was not an outdoors person in the wintertime. I never liked to ski or do anything outdoorish. So for me, at least 5 months of the year, I had to be inside. So moving to South Florida was great, and living in the Grove was great because I could always be outside. Well, shortly after I moved to South Florida, I learned of the great Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. And I read her book, River of Grass, always interested in national parks and places that people really treasure. Well, what I learned about the Everglades was the Everglades isn't like any other national park in the country. It doesn't have mountains. It doesn't have monuments. It is what she called the River of Grass. And anytime I had the opportunity to go to the Everglades, I did. If it was just to look at the beautiful bald cypress trees and the way that the knees shot up from the bald cypress trees and to look at the birds that flew overhead, I just loved being in the clear air of the Everglades. So one day, my partner and I and the friend who was visiting from New York decided to go to the Everglades and visit an area called Shark Valley. Shark Valley is within Everglades National Park, and it's an area where you can either ride this 14-mile loop on a tram, or you can walk it, or you can ride bikes. But there are no cars allowed, which makes the experience really, really interesting because you get face-to-face with all of the birds that nest there and all of the wildlife that exist within the Everglades. So we took our bikes. We drove west on the Tamiami Trail to Shark Valley, and we started out on this 14-mile loop. And it was a beautiful, clear, cool March morning. The sky was clear, and what was really great about it was that's when all of the baby alligators hatched from their eggs, and they were sunning themselves on the drainage pipes. So we made our way around this, halfway around this loop, where there's a tower that you can climb and look over this beautiful river of grass that Marjorie described so beautifully in her books. So we're looking at the animals and looking at all the different birds flying overhead and wading in the water beneath us. And as we turned around, we noticed the tram coming up behind us. So we decided that we better leave this area before all of the people came off of the tram, and we would have to follow the tram around the second half of this loop. So as we were walking down the walk and the tram was pulling up, out of the water comes this 12 or 13 foot alligator, this enormous alligator. And for the first time that you come face to face with an alligator, you realize that nature really is perfect, because these animals look so perfect that they don't even look real. Their teeth look like piano keys. Their hide looks like what you would see on a pair of alligator shoes. They're just beyond perfect to the point that you think they can't possibly be real. But of course, for any of us who live in South Florida for a number of years, we know that these creatures are. So I just felt it was really ironic that when this tram came up, that this alligator either heard the tram or felt the vibrations of this tram come up and knew that people would be coming off of the tram and would probably feed it. Because no matter how many times you see signs that say don't feed the alligators, people always feed the alligators or any animals that they come into contact with. But basically, when the tram pulled up, the tram operator stayed on the tram and just told these people that they could walk down the walkway, climb this tower if they wanted to. He gave them, you know, a time frame, 10, 15 minutes to come back on the tram, and then they would continue on their way. It was rather surprising that he didn't get off and accompany them. And sure enough, The first three people off of this tram were three older women who were munching on bags of chips, and they looked down at this alligator, and they said, "Oh my gosh, just as we pulled up, this mechanical alligator comes out of the water," which I was shocked for them to think that this alligator was mechanical, number one. And number two, I thought, if they realize that this alligator really is real, then they'll start to feed it chips, which can really lead to a catastrophe. So I said in a very loud and stern voice, "Oh no, that alligator is real, and you need to get back, and please don't feed it." And these women were really startled, not by the alligator, but by me very forcefully telling them to stand back and to get away from this alligator and to try to avert any type of catastrophe that any of us would want to witness. Well, my friends and I got back on our bikes and continued to ride the loop through the rest of Shark Valley, just marveling at the fact that, you know, people want to go to the Everglades. They want to experience this unique ecosystem that doesn't exist anywhere in the world. But yet when they come face to face with all of these animals and creatures that are there, they don't think they're real. I guess they think that they must be back in Disney World. The Disneyization has really led to us believing that everything can be made artificially, and that even when they're out in nature, what they come face to face with really cannot be real.
Janice Sudak with a story about an alligator sighting.
I am a patient person, and I like to think of myself as an understanding person. But who on earth would think that there was a mechanical alligator in the middle of the Everglades?
That is unusual. I was once on the campus at University of Miami with someone not from Miami and saw these big, beautiful palm trees, the royal palms. I thought they were made out of concrete.
The only thing I can think of, and I'm teasing a little bit. I mean, you know, when you come down here for the first time from very, very different areas, it is so hard to imagine that such a thing exists right in front of you, you know? So I really do understand it, although it is pretty strange to think. So I love what she said when Janice said the Disneyization of Florida. I mean, people think, oh, alligator can't possibly be real. Obviously, it looks real because they just may. I mean, it's just the thinking is just amazing.
Well, she herself said the alligator looked so perfect that it didn't look real. And she described the skin of the alligator as an alligator boot.
The hide like shoes and the teeth like piano keys. I love that. And yeah, I get it. I really do. It's just such a funny thing. The things that we take for granted that we know exist here. I've been here 30 years and I still can't believe it whenever I drive past a palm tree that I actually live in a place with palm trees. Still, you can believe that such a thing exists. So I loved that about this story. I also really loved her appreciation. She does not take this for granted ever, and she certainly didn't when she first got down here talking about how wonderful it was to be outside all the time in the grove.
She also remembers Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, who was an important figure in South Florida.
Well, she didn't know her personally, but she certainly read the book, and that, I am sure, colored much of her experience and much of her understanding and appreciation, as it has for so many people.
As dangerous as it could be of a big alligator approaching you, she had no faith in humans as far as feeding those animals.
And she was so right. I'm sure that would have been the next step. The other thing that really makes me laugh about this story, and I can picture it so clearly the way she explains it, is when you hear her voice, she has a very good storytelling voice, a very good teaching voice, a voice of authority and a voice of power. There's power there in that voice. And she's just telling a story. So you can imagine that when she calls out to those women and she says they were startled, not by the alligator, but by me calling out to them, I can really imagine that. It's just such a funny scene.
I'm upset that I've been in South Florida my whole life. I've never been on that 14-mile trail at Shark Valley.
I was thinking the same thing listening to this story. And I was thinking that this is really the point of the public storyteller. people are sharing slices of their lives in South Florida. They are connecting us not only to themselves by listening to their story and going through their experience with them, but also to the different places, which is why we always ask people to name a place if the place doesn't figure so prominently in the story. In this case, the place figures very prominently in the story, and I got to get out there. And if Janice's story and if what we do on The Public Storyteller got two more people out to appreciate the Everglades, I think that's a good thing.
I do too.
Hopefully many more.
Thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. I understand you have an event coming up?
Yes, the first show of the Story Central Live Adult Storytelling Program at the Boca Raton Public Library begins on January 28th. That's next Saturday. And I'm doing a show called Bagels, Bialys, and Bubba Mices, A Celebration of Jewish Storytelling. That is at 3:30. It is a free show at the downtown Boca Raton Public Library. And the address is 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Boca Raton.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. If our listeners have their South Florida story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Send me an email to cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archived stories, wlrn.org, Click Radio, and The Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.